Now, Governor Tony Evers says Wisconsin is joining three states to form a regional hydrogen hub. It's part of a federal effort to make clean hydrogen a more common power source as part of a wider effort to replace fossil fuels. Last year's bipartisan infrastructure law earmarked billions of dollars in federal funding for clean hydrogen. Wisconsin and neighboring states are hoping to get some of that money to launch this regional network of hydrogen producers, consumers, and infrastructure. Researchers say clean hydrogen may not be a quick fix in the shift away from fossil fuels. Our next guest says when it comes to climate change, a lot of it has to do with how you produce that hydrogen in the first place. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the idea of this clean hydrogen fuel? Have you seen a hydrogen-powered car? Do you have questions for our guest about how this works and the impact it has? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Robert Warren Howarth is a professor of ecology and environmental biology at Cornell University. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be with you.
We'll spend a lot of time, I think, on how we make the hydrogen, but I want to start with what we do with it once it's made. What are the uses for this hydrogen fuel in our energy economy?
Well, it's important to keep in mind that hydrogen historically has not been much of a fuel. We've used it for space rockets, but not much else. It's really an energy carrier. And of the hydrogen that's made today, it's overwhelmingly used to make synthetic nitrogen fertilizer and as a chemical feedstock, not really for energy. So the thought of using energy hydrogen more broadly as an energy source is future looking, and we're looking for ways to store surplus renewable electricity, perhaps long distance truck and train transport, maybe long distance aviation, steel manufacturing, things of that sort. Those are what I'd consider the better uses. Hydrogen's also being promoted, I think, unfortunately, by some for use in, say, home heating. And I think that would be a very, very poor choice. So we can get into more details as to why as we go on, if you like.
Yeah, and well, with consumers, I think the thing they might hear about is this idea of a hydrogen fuel cell cars. This is not something I think we might see on the road on any given day. How close are we to having that be a reality?
Well, I'm a little skeptical of hydrogen cars being a big part of our future. I mean, the technology's there. We certainly can make hydrogen cars. Toyota has played around with that. They've made some, but they haven't really gone into commercial scale production. For the small passenger vehicle, you know, I think market forces have told us that we're moving to battery electric vehicles rather than hydrogen. They're more cost effective. They're more energetically effective as well. So I think, although there are some who still see a future for this hydrogen car, I think in transportation, where hydrogen comes into play is longer distances and bigger vehicles. So large semi-trailer trucks, perhaps hydrogen can compete against batteries. For passenger vehicles, I think that decision's already been made by the technologies and market forces over the last decade.
We're talking to Bob Howarth from Cornell University about hydrogen fuel, its future, its limitations, as states around the country, including Wisconsin, are angling for some federal money to get into the hydrogen business. You could join in with your questions, what you're seeing out there. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Bob, you've done some research into one of the means of making this, or of producing this hydrogen in a usable way. Making it from natural gas, you're very concerned about the impact that has on climate change. Not really a net gain, you write.
Yeah, no, I'm concerned, terribly concerned about it. Most all hydrogen now is actually made from natural gas. In the United States, 96% of the current hydrogen market's coming from natural gas. The industry, and that's been going on for a long time. The technology for that was invented 120 years ago. So this is not new technology. And it actually hasn't changed much over the last 80 to 90 years. The natural gas industry, though, has just in the last few years come up with this idea that they call blue hydrogen, which is making hydrogen from natural gas, only capturing carbon dioxide from the process and sequestering that. And they started marketing this idea as either clean hydrogen or as zero emissions or low emissions hydrogen. And that's just plain wrong. Mark Jacobson, a very talented engineer at Stanford, and I published a paper a little over a year ago, August of 2021, where we looked at the true greenhouse gas footprint of this idea of blue hydrogen. And again, that's the hydrogen from natural gas with carbon capture. And what we showed was that it actually has a larger greenhouse gas consequence than if one were simply to burn the natural gas. And there are two reasons for that. One is that not all of the carbon dioxide is effectively captured at all, and it actually takes a lot of energy to capture that carbon dioxide. So you're using more fuel, and there's some more emissions with that. And the other is that natural gas is composed mostly of methane. It is that methane and natural gas that's the chemical feedstock for making hydrogen, but they also burn natural gas to provide the heat and energy to make this. And some unburned methane inevitably escapes to the atmosphere when you develop and use natural gas in any form. And hydrogen is an incredibly potent greenhouse gas. So what we demonstrated is that those methane emissions, together with the incomplete carbon dioxide capture, make this a very, very poor choice for fuel.
I believe as Governor Evers and his colleagues in other states, their goal here with this regional hydrogen hub would be to make the hydrogen, produce the hydrogen, or I guess extract the hydrogen in a different way from water. H2O, those two H's are hydrogen. What do those methods look like for extracting the hydrogen?
Yeah, that is the other way to go. It's what we call electrolysis. So you're breaking down the H2 and the O in H2O into hydrogen and oxygen gas, just putting electricity into it. That technology is also quite old. It's been around since the 1890s or so. To date, it is not a dominant market force for hydrogen simply because it's been expensive relative to making natural gas-based hydrogen in the past. But as we move into a future where renewable electricity is increasingly our source of electricity, it makes sense, to use hydrogen as a storage compound for times when we're providing surplus solar electricity or solar wind electricity in particular. And as the price of renewable electricity is coming down, this price of that hydrogen, we call that green hydrogen, is also coming down. And the equipment which does the electrolysis, the electrolyzers, are becoming more efficient and far more cost effective as well. So I think that's the future that I hope hydrogen will be. There is a competition, and quite frankly, oil and gas industry would love to confuse that with what they're marketing from their natural gas hydrogen. And they call both of those clean. And one is clean, the electrolysis from renewable electricity, the green hydrogen, is truly clean. The other is very, very dirty.
And I guess another key is that availability of renewable energy at a scale. Because I guess if I'm using electricity, I could use electricity from a coal-powered power plant to do the electrolysis and separate out that hydrogen. That clearly, I'm guessing, is not going to be a net gain when it comes to climate emissions.
No, that's not such a good idea either, right? So, no. Quite frankly, often we are better off just using electricity directly as an energy source as opposed to putting it through hydrogen at all. So I think hydrogen definitely has a role in our decarbonized energy future, but it's not, I think it's a relatively limited role. Again, long distance transportation, perhaps manufacturing of steel, and as a storage product for surplus renewable electricity. But if we can use the electricity directly instead, it's often more efficient to do so and more cost effective.
Right. Let's talk about that situation now. We've got a great sunny day or a great windy day. The respective generators are producing more electricity than we need right now. You were suggesting that is a role where carbon might be able to absorb some of that extra energy. And then what? Is that hydrogen sitting there as a battery for off-peak times, or are we transporting it to use for other uses?
Well, you could do either, but it makes sense to, rather than just dissipating that surplus electricity. And there are parts, say, of the United States currently where surplus wind energy can't get to market because we don't have adequate cable connections. Using that to produce hydrogen and then either feeding it back into the grid or perhaps for some other use. But I think often feeding it back into the grid would be the preferred use. And we can do that through fuel cells as well. Which is a fairly high efficiency technology, unpolluting. So I think that might be the best future for us to be thinking about.
So I can use this hydrogen fuel cell as a big battery instead of, I guess, a big what, lithium battery or something
like
that?
Yeah, exactly. And those two technologies are in competition, right? They both can store electricity, and they have pluses and minuses both. The lithium batteries are expensive, for instance, and we have to deal with the lithium issues. There are other ways to store surplus electricity, compressed air, liquefied air, which you then feed back through turbines. So I'm not 100% sure that hydrogen is going to be the dominant force for this battery, if you will, in the future, but it may well be, and it's certainly one that we should be exploring and developing and making as efficient as possible as part of the energy future.
We're talking to Robert Warren Howarth, professor of ecology and environmental biology at Cornell University, with us today to talk about the use of hydrogen in our energy system. Wisconsin joining a partnership with three other states looking for federal money to develop a regional hydrogen hub. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Well, as I was researching this, I was impressed with how little I knew about hydrogen. Are you in the same boat as me? Do you have a question about how this works, what we do with it, how we make it? Join in at 800-642-1234. And do you think hydrogen should be a priority of, say, federal funding, state research, corporate research, or are there other alternative energy solutions you'd like to see on the front burner? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about hydrogen and its potential uses as part of a clean energy future. Robert Warren Howarth from Cornell University stays with us, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been following the use of hydrogen in energy technology? Are you hopeful for it? Skeptical about it? Do you have questions about it? Join in at 800-642-1234. Where do you want to see things like federal and state money go when it comes to funding for research on alternative energy sources? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Bob, as you mentioned earlier, one use that's been floated for this hydrogen is home heating. You mentioned briefly earlier you're skeptical about that as a good use. Why is that?
I'm beyond skeptical. I think it's a terrible use for several reasons. One, the natural gas industry has started marketing this idea quite heavily that they will blend hydrogen into our traditional natural gas delivery systems and allow people to use it for home heating. And the fact is that you actually have to put a lot of hydrogen into the pipeline in order to have any significant reduction in the greenhouse gas emissions from burning the ultimate fuel, even if the hydrogen itself is truly green and clean up front. And that's partly because it's just a lower energy density fuel. As you use it, you need to increase the pressurization in the pipelines, and that makes the pipelines leakier. They emit more methane, which is already a big problem. It makes them more dangerous. Hydrogen also makes the pipelines more brittle, which increases the chances of a catastrophic event, an explosion. And so the California Air Resources Board, for instance, has recently ruled that we should not let industry put more than 5% hydrogen into a natural gas pipeline system. And they're hoping that with further research that that might go up to 20%. You know, those blendings of 5 to 20% are just meaningless in terms of truly decarbonizing the heating system. So it's just not effective. But beyond that, you know, let's say that we're making our hydrogen from renewable electricity, as I argue that we should. If you start with a unit of renewable electricity and you convert it into hydrogen, there's some inefficiency there. If you then transport the hydrogen to a home through a pipeline, there are inefficiencies there. You burn it in a traditional home furnace, even with high efficiencies, and there are inefficiencies there. So overall, you're getting about 45% of that original electric energy is showing up as heat energy in your home. If you instead take that renewable electricity and put it through the wires to your home and use a high efficiency heat pump, you can actually get 4.5-5 times more heat energy out than you're putting into electricity. So what that means is that for the same amount of renewable electricity, we get 10 times, 8 times more heat energy in our home if we're using a high efficiency electric heat pump as opposed to going through this hydrogen thing. So together with all those problems, it's just I don't really know anyone who's a serious engineer or scientist working on hydrogen who thinks it's a good idea. I think it's just playing a marketing scheme for the natural gas industry.
Yeah, can you talk about the infrastructure or lack of, say, for transporting hydrogen if we're going to do something other than what you said, use it as that sort of on-site electrical storage device for excess renewable energy production?
Right. Well, hydrogen is transported some in pipelines now, but there's special pipelines that are made for hydrogen as opposed for natural gas. It has to be using a quality of steel that's much more resistant to corrosion. It's much more expensive. Stainless steel, high quality stainless steel, essentially. It's difficult and expensive to transport it. And I would note that, you know, hydrogen is the absolute smallest molecule in the entire universe, smallest molecule on Earth. And that means that it's very, very difficult to contain. It's very leaky. If you remember back, NASA's been having problems trying to get some of their spacecraft going over the last month or so with fuel leaks. Those fuel leaks are hydrogen leaks. And, you know, here you have some of the best engineers in the world. They're struggling to contain the hydrogen. It is very, very slippery, leaky stuff. So it's not that we can't handle it, we can't use it, but it's expensive and technologically challenging. And I think the less transporting we do of it, the better, both in terms of safety and cost effectiveness.
Talking to Bob Howarth from Cornell University, looking at the opportunities and the limitations of hydrogen in our energy system as Wisconsin seeks and other states seek to get federal money to develop hydrogen, produce it, and use it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. John joins us now in Rhinelander. John, hi.
Hi there. I wanted to ask about the comparative cost to consumers of different storage. Now, I know batteries are coming down towards $25 a kilowatt hour as far as the storage to buy it. I don't know how much hydrogen would cost to consumers. You know, how much would that add to the bill, your power bill or your bill for charging your car? And how much would hydrogen add to it? And in these other mechanical means of storage, whatever, you know, I got a feeling probably batteries are going to beat everybody out, you know.
John, thanks for the call. Do batteries have a leg up on hydrogen and other electricity storage options, Bob?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, John. And it's hard to give a definitive answer. I mean, the whole storage technology is changing so rapidly and improving so rapidly. So, you know, batteries are far more effective and cheaper now than they were 5 to 10 years ago. Lithium batteries have come a long way. There are other battery technologies that are coming along, which are, I'm told I'm not a battery expert, but I have expert friends who tell me that they're likely to be far less expensive yet and perhaps more effective. So, you know, batteries are going to get better and better and cheaper and cheaper. Hydrogen remains pretty expensive, but the process for making it is coming down, partly as the renewable electricity costs come down, but also as those electrolyzers come down. And some of the other technologies are perhaps cost competitive as well. I mentioned compressed air, and there are people experimenting with large storage of surplus electricity from compressed air and letting it back out. I think we're going to see dramatic changes in all of these technologies over the coming decade, and I think we should keep an open mind, probably invest in research heavily in all of them, but keep an open mind as to where the real winners are going to be for that.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Bob, this the Infrastructure Act put money in different kinds of renewable energy resource. What's your read on the priority of hydrogen? Do you think it's getting the appropriate amount of money here, given that there are other options on the table?
I think there's too much emphasis on hydrogen, quite frankly, in the funding. And some of that is earmarked, if you will, towards hydrogen that's made from natural gas. I don't think that's ideal. I mean, overall, I'm a big supporter of the IRA. It's world-changing legislation. There's an awful lot of good stuff in there, but there's a lot of stuff that I personally would have liked to have seen not be put in there. And the the subsidies for carbon capture and storage and tying that to making hydrogen from natural gas, I just think is it's going to be a waste of money. I don't think those technologies are going to pan out. If for no other reason, I mean, I'm concerned about the greenhouse gas consequences of making hydrogen that way. I think it's going to be technologically really challenging to do it well enough. The green hydrogen from renewable electricity and electrolysis of water clearly went out there. But I think that's going to be true even economically. I mean, at the moment that green hydrogen is somewhat more expensive than hydrogen from natural gas, but natural gas prices are high. They're going to stay high. They're probably going to creep up over time over the next decade. And the green hydrogen prices are coming down. So the economic analyses I've seen say that certainly within the decade, green hydrogen will be more economical than any hydrogen made from fossil fuel. So, you know, why are we wasting time trying to keep the fossil fuel component of that going? I think that's a mistake in what otherwise is a really, really important bill.
In just our last half minute, if you could take that money that went where you didn't want it, where would you put it in alternative energy right now?
I think making a big push for heat pumps, getting fossil fuels out of our homes and putting in heat pumps there, maybe community-based ground source heat pumps would be a great way to go. And really pushing ahead with these energy storage technologies, electric storage, but also thermal storage. You know, we know how to build wind turbines. We know solar. We are going to need some electrical storage. And the research is going on, but that should be a very high priority.
Bob, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
That's Robert Warren Howarth, professor of ecology and environmental biology at Cornell. He was with us today to talk about hydrogen as a possible source of clean fuel after Governor Evers launched a joint effort with three other states trying to win funding for hydrogen projects here in Wisconsin.